One, check, check two. Good morning, everybody. Hope you're having a great morning. We do have some birthdays. Have one birthday anyway. We want to get that birthday to you here in a sec. Give me one moment here. Need to get some water. Hope everybody's hydrated. Amen, amen. Hydrated. All right. Amen. Can you hear me out there? Yeah. Water. All right. We've got one birthday for you today. And let's see here. Ann Redmond. Ann, are you in the house? Yay, Miss Ann. And there's a members. Is there a members meeting today after church? All right. Members meeting today immediately following the AM service. Is there a Monday night Bible study this week? Next week, okay. And then Ann Redmond's got a birthday. Ann, how old are you going to be, kid? 72. Ann going to be the big 7'2". All right. Cradle robber, Fred. I said you cradle robber, Fred. All right, 72, Ann Redmond on the 22nd. Any other birthdays in the house? You want another one? Yeah, I'll take one. Amen. I want me a birthday. Yeah. Kind of rough when them birthdays stop. Amen. You want to keep those things going. All right. Any other birthday? Yes, sir. Just announcement. What's your announcement, sir? Game night. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Got another birthday? Who is it? All right, Patty. Amen, amen. Happy birthday. All right. Well, let's do some happy birthday singing. We'll get her going. Yeah, if you want to sing for Singspiration, you got 8 Sundays to sign up for it. Amen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, stand if you can. We're going to sing, Come Now's the Time to Worship. Come, now is the time to worship. Come. Now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are, to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to as you are before your God. Come, come, come. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace flows down and covers me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace flows down and covers me, it covers me. It covers me. It covers me. It covers me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace flows down and covers me, it covers me. 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 Covers me. It covers me. Thank you, Jesus.
More about Jesus, more, more. Father, we come here today just to praise your holy name, lift you up on high. We thank you for Jeremiah and this, leading this music, the worship music, and beautiful songs we sing to you, glorify your name. And Lord, we just lift our pastor up to you this morning as he preaches the word. And just let that word just come out and just touch each and every one of us. Let the Holy Spirit just flow through this church. Lord, the Spirit, just move about. And Lord, we do thank you for any visitors we have here today. We welcome them today, Lord. And we miss all the ones that can't be here today that are ailing or sick or traveling about. Lord, just get them back home safely, Lord. And again, if there's anybody here today that don't know you, Lord, we pray they come forth and give their life to you. This is what it's all about. And you give us so much. Everything comes from you, Lord. Everything we get comes from you. We just give you a small portion back, and we just thank you for what you give us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how his saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convicting men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Amen. I missed a couple words there. Sorry about that.
All right, Children's Church, here we go. Boy, they're lining up today, man. Here we go. Da 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 da. Keep that unto him against that day. Da, 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 da. Good luck, brother. Hang on with both hands, man. Hang on with both hands. You can do it. Very good. Outstanding. How y'all doing today? All right. Yeah, let's give those visitors a round of applause. Always good to have visitors. Amen. Very good, and Lord keeps answering the prayer, sending folks to be with us. Some of them are sticking, some of them come through here and pass on. That's okay, but we just pray that, God continues to send folks, and we continue to reach folks for the Lord. Amen. Continue to send the Word of God out. Right? Amen. Well, vacation was good and great, and where'd you go? We didn't do much. We just moved our middle daughter back into college. And at Huntsville, up at Sam Houston, we think we've got just about all of it done. We went back up there yesterday, put together our last piece of furniture, and so we think she's all set and ready to go, but we shall see. Amen? We shall see. Kids, right? My soul. My soul. What when we had four? What were we thinking? I don't know. You weren't thinking. That's right. All right. If you've got a copy of God's Word, let's turn to Colossians chapter 3 as we continue on our series of messages on the great book of Colossians. If you want to find John 11, we're going to read Colossians 3, and then we'll pray, and then we'll read John 11. So we won't read all of it standing. But Colossians chapter 3, those of you with us online, good to have you as well. Amen. Online folks, good to have them today. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to begin reading here in about verse 5, and we're going to take it through verse 13, verse 5 through 13. If you found that this morning, would you say amen? Amen. All right, Colossians 3, beginning in verse 5, let's see what Paul writes to the church at Colossae. We've covered this, we're just reading it for context and setting it all up here today. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also, notice what it says, now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self. Notice what it says, old self with its evil practices. And this is the good stuff right here. We're getting to it. And have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. That's good, good. Amen? A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man. But Christ is all and in all. Let's say that. Christ is all and in all. There you go. Verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, notice what it says again. It's talking about putting on something. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And this is where we're going. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against you, anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you, right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the reading of your word, Lord, as we get back into it today. We thank you. Thank you for it. And Lord, we pray that you would just be in the midst of us. And Lord, help us think this forgiveness stuff through. It's so easy to hold a grudge. It's so easy to get cynical. It's so easy to get bitter-filled and just sour to life and sour to people. But Lord, we want to let those things go. We want to just, by your Holy Spirit, release it today. We want to make a choice, Lord, to turn from these things and to seek a different path, a path of peace, a path of compassion and gentleness, humility, and patience. So Lord, help us do that. We pray you help us. We need your help. We can only do this with your Spirit help, Lord, as we think about it. Lord, be with us now, and those that don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, as has already been prayed, we pray that at the conclusion of this time that, Lord, you might draw them down to receive you as their Lord and Savior. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, if you would take your Bibles and just humor me, go to John 11. We mentioned this a couple weeks ago. John chapter 11. We're just going to look at a few verses here. John 11, verses 39. John 11, verse 39, and we'll take it through verse 44. John 11, verse 39, and we'll take it through verse 44. Have you found that? Right? Gospel of John, chapter 11, beginning at verse 39. The Word of God reads this. Jesus said, this is the raising of Lazarus. Jesus said, remove the stone. And Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, right? For he has been dead how many days? 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Right? Now, we tried to make the connection a couple of weeks ago with this passage in John's Gospel, connecting it back to our passage in Colossians about putting off the old things and putting on the new things, right? And so the old things we want to get off of us, Lazarus, his resurrection, picture what? Picture salvation, right? Lazarus coming back from the dead, picture salvation, right? And so Lazarus, there he is, hopping out of the tomb. He's been brought back to life, physical life. He's a picture of us being brought back spiritually alive when we received Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We were dead. Though we were physically alive, we were dead until we're saved, right? And then when we're saved, we come alive, amen? We're a new creation, right? A new creature. Old things have passed. Behold, all things are what? Become new. Amen, amen? So there we are. And so, how did John get that stuff off of him when he came hopping out of the tomb? Well, he didn't get it off of him by himself. He had some help. Jesus said, unbind him and let him go. When we think about this passage in Colossians, it takes a community to get that old stuff off and to get the new stuff on, to get the new clothes on. And this cloth today, or this piece of clothing that we want to think about and talk about today, is none other than this cloak, or you could call this accessory, or you could call this nice blazer, or this jacket, or this beautiful embroidered shirt. But it's none other than a garment of forgiveness. We want to put that on. We want to be a forgiving people. Now, there is a great difficulty when it comes to forgiving folks. Yes, yes? Yeah? But I want to tell you, on the flip side and on the back side of it, there is a great blessing to be had. There is a great benefit to be had when we forgive those that have offended us. With me? Right? Now, we all experience, let's get into it, we all experience what? Well, you could call it relationship problems. Speaking to anybody today? We all experience relationship problems. What do you mean, preacher? Well, in which we are hurt or offended. We all experience that. Just think about your relationship, perhaps, with your spouse, or your kids, or your parents, or your siblings. Oh, man, preacher, you're reading my mail now. I'm telling you. And then if we move our focus a little bit wider out than our immediate and extended families, then we can focus on our relationships surrounding our workplace and our employment, and even those relationships with our neighbors, right? Then on about the same level, we can think about our relationships we have within the church. And the bottom line to all of this stirring of thought, the bottom line of all this stirring of thought and focus is that we had better learn how to forgive. You got it? Better learn how to do that. Because it's just a matter of time. It's a sooner or later proposition. When you think about all the number of relationships that each and every one of us has, we're going to be, sooner or later, we're going to be offended by someone or someones. I'm telling you, right? And so the question might come up, preacher, don't the people in the church get along? Well, not all the time. You've heard the saying, to err is human, and to forgive is divine. Yeah. And for some church folks, they soon find themselves on the street of error. And as hard as they try, they just cannot get to the neighborhood of divine forgiveness. So we want to try to fix that. Amen? You catch that phrase or euphemism when I said it? I think you did. To err is human. To forgive is divine. In 1711, the English poet Alexander Pope, he wrote an essay on criticism in which he made the statement, good nature and good sense must ever join. That's what he said. Good nature and good sense must ever join. And then he said that little euphemism I just gave you. To err is human, to forgive divine. Now, since that time, there have been several interesting variations on Pope's statement. Dog lovers claim, those that love dogs, those of you that love dogs, hold your hands up. Dog lovers, there they are, okay. Dog lovers have claimed to err as human, to forgive is canine, right? Right? And we could never say that as cat lovers, to forgive is feline, because those cats, they hold on to it a little bit longer than dogs, I'm afraid. Mae West once quoted as saying, to err is human, but it feels divine. Mae not wanting to repent there. For anyone who works with computers today, perhaps Jeremiah and others will agree with this, to err is human, but to really mess things up, you need a computer. Amen? Yeah, you got to have a computer. Someone wisely observed, to err is human, and to cover it up is too, right? Yeah, human. Because of our errors, we desperately need divine forgiveness. Amen? We need it. The Bible teaches God loves us. The Bible teaches that God forgives us. The Bible teaches us that forgiveness is a free gift. In other words, forgiveness is a part of God's nature to display His amazing grace to sinners such as us. It's good stuff. Likewise, in the model prayer, Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Accepting God's forgiveness, it's a lot easier than forgiving others who have hurt and offended us. Therefore, in this message, we're going to attempt to ponder, we're going to attempt to think about and unpack the divine principles that might help us on our journey to forgive someone and then move on for God's glory and our own sanity. Amen? That's what we're going to try to do. So you're taking notes. This is number one. See, when you forgive, point number one, when you forgive, that's what you're doing. When you forgive, you have made a decision to do so. You've made a decision to do it. Now let me talk to you a little bit about feeling versus self-will to decide. There's a difference here between feeling, how I feel about it, and my self-will to decide about it, all right? Now, let me take you through that. As we examine these principles of forgiveness, I really want you to think about bring somebody into your mind. I bring somebody into your focus. I want you to think about anyone this moment, perhaps, that has hurt you, that has offended you deeply, and who you are struggling to be able to choose to forgive them. So I want you to think about that individual. Or maybe it's a group. Maybe it's more than one. As we go through this, I want you to have that person in your mind. And hopefully, by the time we get through with this message, which will probably be next Sunday morning, I want you to be to that point where you can choose let it go and forgive that person. So think about them. You say, preacher, when I think about them, I'm not a very happy camper. When I think about them, I get all stirred up. When I think about them, I'm going to try to help you with that. Just think about them. The person may be an ex-spouse. The person may be a former boss. The person may be a family member with whom you're currently estranged. May be a neighbor you got a feud going with. Maybe a child, right? Think about it. The question is this, will you ask the Holy Spirit? Will you ask God by the person of the Holy Spirit to put a person or situation on your heart where you need to apply forgiveness? See, friend, we got to make the Bible work, man. We got to make the truth go forth. Amen? Amen? Yeah? Now, Your first objection may be this, because I get this a lot with four kids, right? I've heard this a lot. I've heard this a lot over the years. But I don't feel like cleaning my room. I don't feel like getting cleaned up. I don't feel like taking care of the cat. I don't feel like. And some people say, well, preacher, I don't feel like forgiving them. I just don't feel like it. And I would say, that's okay. That's okay. Let me validate you today. Your feelings, it's okay. You can hold on to that. You can have that feeling. It's okay. But listen to me. You've got to come to grips with what God's Word says, because God commands us to forgive those who sin against us, whether or not we feel like it or not. Right? That's what God's Word says. Your feelings are important. Your feelings are what you're holding on to. Those are your feelings. But friend, they have very little to do with you choosing to forgive God in light of God's command. In light of His command. Just focus on what God is telling you to do. Yes, yes? And think about bringing glory to Him. Bringing glory to Him as you decide to extend forgiveness. Because this is what I want to tell you. If you wait until you feel like forgiving that person, you may never get around to forgiving them. See, making that choice is kind of like that agape love that God has for us. That agape love, right? Like agape love, forgiveness is not a feeling. Rather, forgiveness is a decision. It's a decision. Amen? A maturing Christian does not live by feelings, but by faith and obedience. Amen, amen. All right. Now, I know what you're thinking. Forgiveness, preacher, that's not a natural human trait. That's not natural for us to be forgiving. William Willimon wrote this. He said, the human animal is not supposed to be good at forgiveness. He said, forgiveness is not some innate, natural human emotion. Rather, he said, vengeance, retribution, violence, these are all natural human qualities. It is natural for the human animal to snarl and crouch into a defensive position when attacked, to howl when wronged, to bite back when bitten. He closes out that quote by saying, forgiveness is not natural. When John Wesley was a missionary in colonial America, he met General James Oglethorpe. Who in the world is that? That was the governor of Georgia at the time. And John Wesley, discussing with General James Oglethorpe, as they discussed one of the governor's enemies, General Oglethorpe said, I never forget, and I never forgive. I never forget, and I never forgive. To which John Wesley replied, then, sir, I hope you never sin. I hope you never sin. Because the only person who can afford the luxury of unforgiveness is the person who never sins. Make sense? Yes, yes? So number one, when you forgive, you have made a decision to do so. You have to decide. I don't feel like it. You've got to submit and surrender to the will and the Word of God. Amen? Number two, when you forgive, you have intentionally released the offender. You have intentionally released the offender. Now, let me talk to you about what releasing is not. This is what it's not, right? You have perhaps heard someone say, well, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Can I blow the smoke away from that and show you what that really is when somebody says that? That's none other than a guise. That's none other than a little sleight of hand. That's none other than a little fakey fake. That they're not going to forgive when they say that. I'll forgive, but I won't forget. They're telling you they're not forgiven, right? That's what they're saying, right? All they're doing is they're going to actively remember what that individual or individuals did to them. And when they do that, they will be reminding themselves of the offense every time it comes up. And so there will be no forgiveness. Now, can we talk about forgetfulness just a little bit? Can we? Forgetfulness? Some forgetfulness is a passive process. It's passive, in which a matter fades from our memory with the passing of time. I don't know about you, but I speak for myself. I have a tendency to forget names, telephone numbers, birthdays, important dates. Am I the only one? Amen. Now, ladies, I got a question for you. It's an amazing thing the brain is. Amen, ladies. How can a man forget their wedding anniversary, but remember the score, the day, the time, the date of their favorite team's championship game, whether it be 30, 40, 50 years ago? Amen, ladies. You're getting the vibe, right? Yeah. You do not make yourself forget something, do you? It just happens, doesn't it? It just happens. And the older we get, the more there is to forget. Somebody say amen to that. Someone said the human brain is an amazing organ. It starts working in the womb at development, and it does not stop working until you stand up in front of a crowd to speak. And that's when that sucker goes blank, right? Now, there's some good benefits. There are some good benefits of forgetting. Just imagine for a moment how terrible to have all the memories we have ever had floating around on the surfaces of our brains. Our thinking would be even more cluttered and scatterbrained than it is today, right? I mean, just think about that. Once an old elephant was drinking at a watering hole. That's a good reminder, isn't it? Drinking at a watering hole. An elephant. He was an aged elephant as far as elephants go. He was drinking at a watering hole and he spied a turtle. And the elephant, he walked over very, you know, gently as an elephant can walk. And he got up to the elephant and he got up to the turtle and the turtle wasn't looking. And he brought his old trunk down, you know, like an old golf club, and he kind of cued the old turtle up, and the turtle kept doing his deal, and all of a sudden he's swung his head and his trunk, and whop, he came around. His old trunk picked that old turtle up and slung him, man, about 30 feet, skipping across the water and everything. A passing giraffe came by and said, "Why'd you do that?" Well, the elephant said, "I recognize that turtle as the one who took a nip out of my trunk 47 years ago when I was just a baby elephant." The giraffe said, "Wow, you must have a great memory." The elephant said, "Are you ready for it?" That's what he said. He said, "I have turtle recall." Ha! I got turtle recall, baby. Amen? You get it? I got turtle recall. Amen? See, we forget all kinds of things. All kinds of things. But we usually have turtle or total recall when it comes to how other people have mistreated us. Do we not? That's what releasing is not. Let's talk about what releasing is for just a moment. What releasing is. If forgetting is passive, then forgiving, releasing, is an active process in which you make a conscious choice not to remember to have that total recall. Yeah, that's what releasing is. Releasing is a lot like divine forgiveness. The Word of God reads in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Wow. Now, I'm here to tell you, God does not suffer from senility. God does not suffer from dementia. God does not suffer from degeneration of the brain. Mm-mm. No. When God forgives us, He simply chooses not to remember our sins anymore. Now, Clara Barton was the American heroine who founded the Red Cross. And once a friend reminded her of a vicious deed someone had done to her years before, Clara Barton acted as if she had never even heard of the painful incident. Her friend asked, "Don't you remember it?" Clara Barton replied, "No, I distinctly remember choosing to forget it." Choosing to forget it. When the first missionaries to the Eskimos were learning to translate their language, they discovered the Eskimo word for forgive. It was a multi-word phrase. Bear with me. Issa Mujiju Jung Nanarmik, which literally means not being able to think about it anymore. Yeah. Releasing the offender in forgiveness is not passively forgetting, but choosing not to let the thoughts of that harmful person or their harmful deeds consume your thinking. One of the most liberating things you can do for yourself is to forgive someone, to release them. Now, right here, right now, remember I asked you to think about somebody that had offended you. Yeah? Right here, right now, you need to apply that principle to the person or situation troubling you. You need to apply it right here, right now. Make a choice to let it go and release them. Yes? Charles Spurgeon, great theologian, great preacher, great pastor. Charles Spurgeon once wrote, he said, "Forgive and let it go." Man, even before that movie Frozen came out, Spurgeon said that way back in the day. Forgive and let it go. Let it go. He said, when you bury a mad dog, this is what he said, when you bury a mad dog, don't leave his tail above the ground. Right? That's what forgiveness is. You bury the deed and you're unconscious and you refuse to go digging for it. Amen? You get that thing gone. Point number one, when you forgive, you have made a decision to do so. Point number two, when you forgive, you have intentionally released the offender. Point number three, when you forgive, you refuse to act out of revenge. You refuse it. Now, because God has forgiven us of a debt we could never pay, we should be willing to forgive others because nobody is as indebted to us as we are to God. Somebody say amen. See, forgiveness always costs something. There's an economy to it. Now, we think about our forgiveness. Our forgiveness is free to us. It's free to us, our forgiveness, but it's not cheap to God. Forgiveness not cheap to Him. In order to purchase our pardon, Jesus paid with the gold of His blood and the silver of His tears. That's what happened there. Yeah? So let's kind of figure this out. If someone borrowed $1,000 from us, that's a lot of money. They borrowed $1,000 from us, or you, or me. And then a month, 2 months, 3 months down the road, we figured out, you know what? They're not paying that money back. Forgiving them would cost you what? $1,000. Yeah, somebody's on top of it today. Cost you $1,000 to forgive them. $1,000. The cost to forgive is much less than the price of revenge, though. Much less. You have probably seen the bumper sticker that says, "I don't get mad, I get even. I don't get mad, I get even." It's our nature to seek revenge. It's in our nature. Sadly, there are people who are so full of hatred, so full of animosity, they will use every opportunity to hurt others. Every opportunity. Even in death, some people try to exact revenge. I want to share with you two actual bequests from the wills of two different people who wanted to get even with their spouses. All right? One woman stipulated in her will, she said, "I want $1 from my estate to be invested in the interest given to my husband as evidence of my estimate of his worth. Whoa! That's flaming hot, isn't it? Ouch! Another woman left this directive in her will. To my estranged husband, I leave just enough money to enable him to buy a rope. You finish that, amen? Yeah. Yeah. Now I propose to you, don't miss this. I propose to you in the cost analysis that this type of revengeful thinking led to both of these women's physical decline and perhaps ultimately their deaths. Yeah. Jesus taught we should not be the kind of person who seeks to get even. Did he not? Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 and 39, he said, you've heard that it is said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, well, turn the other to him also. But have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about this? Even in this Old Testament, the principle of an eye for an eye, you know that contains a lot of mercy in there? You say, I don't see the mercy, preacher. You may not see the mercy or the grace at the first hearing of that, but at the time this Old Testament law was given, the principle was merciful. Because let me tell you how people operated back in the day. Human nature demands if someone blinds you in one eye, you're going to kill them. You're going to take their life. You're going to end them if they take your eye. Thus, the Old Testament law taught limited revenge. If someone broke out your front tooth, you should limit your revenge to breaking out their what? Their front tooth. Someone has aptly said, an eye for an eye would leave the whole world blind. If we really practice that. So Jesus introduced the concept of grace. Not responding in anger, but giving people what they need. What do people need? Forgiveness. Yeah. This costly, grace-filled, merciful forgiveness was a revolutionary concept, and it still is today. So what does forgiveness actually cost us? Well, I would think the first of all, probably going to cost us some money. Probably going to cost us some money. Probably going to cost us some mental energy. Probably going to cost us some mental energy to forgive. Probably going to cost us a little bit of our pride. We forgive. Perhaps it's going to cost us spending some words of encouragement about the offender versus words of guile and words of revenge and words of hatred, right? But on the backside of forgiveness, when we have chosen, when we have released, when we have spent what we're going to spend in the act of forgiveness, you just cannot put a price on our mental peace. You cannot put a price on our freedom of thought to not be so entrapped by all those feelings of unforgiveness. Now, I want you to make a fist. Either hand, I don't care what hand. Everybody get a fist up. You got your fist ready? I want you to clench that thing as hard as you can. Clench your fist as hard as you can. Don't let go. Don't let go. Keep holding it. How long do you want me to hold that, preacher? Just keep holding it. Keep holding it. Boy, praise the Lord, we didn't get any calls. I didn't have that thing turned off. Hallelujah. Amen. Still got that thing held? How's it feeling? Somebody said tense. Anybody else got an adjective how it feels? Tired? Tight? I believe you. Keep holding. Don't let go. Mm-hmm. Still got a fist up? All right. Count of three, let that thing go. One, two, three. How's that feel? That's forgiveness. That's forgiveness, friend. Revenge, hatred, bitterness, all those unforgiveness things, that's that fist. And you can't hold it. But boy, it sure does take a lot of work, doesn't it? And you sure are thinking about it a lot, aren't you? Oh, man, I'm thinking about that thing. Nagging, isn't it? But man, when you release that grip, you make the choice. Right? You choose to release. You spend the price, whatever it is. But get free of it. Amen. Why would we want to get free? Because of grace. God's given us grace. Let's give that grace. Yes, yes? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the truth contained herein, Lord. We pray as those that need to make decisions, Lord, you might draw them down the aisle today. Others may need to come and pray. Lord, we pray that they'd get a sense that the altars are open to them. And Lord, perhaps they need to lay something down here today when it comes to this forgiveness and bitterness and different things that they struggle with. So Lord, we just pray we'd be submissive to the moving of your Spirit. We'd be submissive, we'd surrender, or we'd just be willing to make that move today. Whatever you'd have us do, for your glory and your honor, it's in your name we pray, and God's people said, you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary. Brother Jeremiah is going to lead us in a time of invitation. Those of you that need to come, you come. Those of you that need to pray, you pray. Couple of decisions for you today. Patty, if you would come and stand before the congregation and your granddaughter, Aubrey. Amen. So Patty is desiring membership into our church by transfer a letter. Amen. From a sister church. And Aubrey has accepted Christ as her personal Lord and Savior and will be joining through the ordinance of baptism. So you're excited about that? Amen. 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 All right. Very good. Well, we'll have a closing word of prayer. Don't forget the members' meeting. We're going to leave these folks down front today since we're staying for members' meeting. Normally, we take our decision folks back to the back with me, but we won't be going anywhere for a while. We've got our members' meeting coming. So if you're members, we invite you to stay. If you're visitors, you want to see how it goes, you certainly observe and take all that in, do what you need to do. But we'll have a word of prayer, and then you folks give these ladies the right hand of fellowship. Amen? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time. Thank you, Lord, that we can experience decisions, Lord, and just see the fruit of your Holy Spirit, and Lord, the fruit of the prayers of your people. And so, God, we're thankful that we can, Lord, grow, and we just praise you for it. We seek to bring glory and honor to your name, Lord, and we pray that we'd be good stewards of these folks that you're adding to us today. And Lord, as we depart this place, some folks won't be staying with us for the members' meeting, Lord. We just pray for safety for those that decide to transition on this afternoon. Bring us back to this evening at 6, Lord, for our evening service. And Lord, for the rest of us, we just pray that we'd have a good transition into our members' meeting. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. All right.